morning. This is Pastor Fox, and today's broadcast is an excerpt from a sermon preached recently by Pastor Dan Dietrich from John 15, dealing with the vine, the branches, and the fruit. So grab your Bible and listen as Pastor preaches about the Christian's relationship as a branch to the vine and his responsibility of bearing fruit.
The second thing I want you to see is the branches. The disciples are the branches. Now, the concept of union and communion are similar to other analogies in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul gave this picture of union that we have with Christ in other pictures. One of the pictures was that of a body and its members. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul pictures all of us as being baptized into the body of Christ, and each one of us is a member. One of us might be an eye, the other might be an ear, the other may be a nose, the other a tongue, the other a finger, the other a toe. But each one of us is a member, and we have a function in the body of the Lord Jesus. And the body is not the same without every member. Every member is important to the body of Christ. And so the picture that we have here is comparable to that. The vine and the branches is comparable to the body and each member or each limb or each organ of that body. There's a second picture. The Apostle Paul gives us this also in Ephesians, and that's a picture of a building and the stones that make it up. As a matter of fact, Peter told us that the stones that make up the building of Christ are living stones. You and I are like stones, living stones that make up the building of Jesus Christ. So it's like the body and its members, it's like the building and its stones. But there's another picture, and this might be my favorite one. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul compares the believers to the bride and Christ to the groom. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, as true believers, we are baptized into the body of Christ, and therefore we become like the bride of Christ. Christ is the groom. You and I are the bride, or the true church is the bride. And as the bride marries the groom and becomes one with him, so you and I become one with Christ. Listen, the picture of that union is more important than you can fathom. It means that Christ and I are one. In the book of Ephesians, Paul put it this way. He said, "You and I are in Christ." But in the book of Galatians, he said, "Christ in you is the hope of glory." So what kind of a union can that be where I'm in Christ and he's in me? I'm the part of him that represents him before mankind, but he's the part of me that represents me before the Father, which is in heaven. Paul said it's like we already sit in heavenly places, not because my body's there, but because Jesus is there. And he's united to me in such a way that because he's already in heavenly places, I'm already in heavenly places too. Blessed be God. What a wonderful thought that is. And that union, that thought of union with Christ, is another one of those pictures that is meant to be represented by the picture or the parable of the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, and he said, "You are the branches, and your job's to bear fruit. My job is to suck nourishment out of the soil and pass it to the branches. The job of the branches then is to bear the fruit." But he said, "You can only do that if you stay abiding in me." And we'll talk about that in just a moment. I want you to see, though, that this picture of the branches, the disciples are the branches, is a concept of union and communion with Jesus Christ. The key word here is the word abide. You see that in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you." Then he says, as we go on in verse 4, "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." You know, as a matter of fact, the word abide is used 11 times in 11 verses there. That's a pretty serious amount of times for that word to be used. It averages one time a verse for 11 verses. First of all, abiding means it means to keep fellowship with Christ so that his life can work through us to produce fruit. Listen, the vine can't produce fruit without branches. Stop and think about that. The vine is dependent upon branches. The vine can bring up all of the nourishment from the soil, and it can produce that into sap and bring sap up, but there must be branches for the sap to flow through to turn into fruit. So the vine has chosen to make itself dependent upon its branches. And so the vine and the branches are most necessary. But I want you to understand that the life comes through the vine to the branches and then to the fruit. Abiding means to keep fellowship with Christ so that his life can work through us to produce fruit. Abiding involves three things. First of all, abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, in verse 3, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." Abiding in Christ involves confession of sin. It involves cleansing through the word. What happens? Here's the process. The word of God convicts me of sin. When I'm convicted of sin, I then confess that to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he said, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all unrighteousness." So as a believer, when I sin, the word of God convicts me of that. I confess it, and the Lord Jesus then forgives it. So abiding in Christ, first of all, involves confession of sin. Secondly, look at verse 7. It involves the ministry of the word and of prayer. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you." Jesus said, you understand what this abiding is? It means that you live in the word of God. And then as you live in the word of God lives in you. And as the word of God lives in you, then you're going to ask the things that the word of God would prompt you to ask. You're going to ask for the right things, and it'll be done because you're asking for the right things. You say, "Preacher, is it possible to ask for the wrong things?" James warns us that it is. He said, first of all, your greatest mistake is that you don't ask, period. You have not because you ask not. But then James added to that this. He said, "And when you do ask, you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts." Many times we ask for the wrong things. Why do we ask for the wrong things? Because we have not been abiding in the Word. When we abide in the Word of God, my desires become His desires. His words become my words. His thoughts become my thoughts, so that the very things that He would want me to ask are the very things that I want to ask. His mind becomes my mind, so to speak. That's what Paul meant when he said, "Let the mind of Christ be in you," which also was in Christ Jesus. That happens through living in His Word. So abiding involves confession of sin. It involves meditation on the Word and prayer. Verse 10, it involves obedience to His commandments. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." You know what? If I truly love the Lord, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And by keeping His commandments, He says, you're abiding in my love. So there's three things. You say, well, how would I go about abiding in Christ? Well, keep a clear conscience. Keep your sins confessed. Keep a short record of sins. When you know that you've sinned on a daily basis, that day, that moment even, take it before the Lord, confess it and forsake it and renew your fellowship. It involves confession of sin. Secondly, it involves the Word of God and prayer. Abide in the Word of God. Don't let a day go by that you don't find some kind of nourishment, spiritual nourishment in the Word of God. And thirdly, obey His commandments. That's why you read the Bible in the first place, is not to just pass knowledge through your mind, but so that you might know how to live. The Word of God is supposed to teach us how to live. And so we obey His commandments. Abiding, the Scripture tells us, is evidenced in these six ways. Number one, it's evidenced by producing fruit. Look at verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So we see producing fruit as an evidence of abiding in Christ. Verse 5 goes on, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Listen, fruitfulness is evidence of abiding in Christ. It won't happen if you don't abide. And if you do abide, it will happen. Then we see a second thing. There's another evidence that we've been abiding in Christ, and that is that we're being pruned. Well, what is that talking about? How do I get pruned? Well, we might also call it chastened. We might call it chastened. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So there's a purging. One of the evidences of genuine salvation is that God chastens the true believer. Listen, there's people that say, well, I don't agree with you Baptists. You Baptists believe once saved, always saved, and I just can't buy that. That doctrine teaches you that you can do anything you want to and still go to heaven, and that's just not logical. First of all, that's not what we teach. It's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture does teach that once you are in grace, you are always in grace. The Scripture teaches that. The Scripture teaches that we have eternal security in Christ. But it doesn't teach that you can do whatever you want to and still be saved. It teaches that if you walk outside the ways of the Lord, if you commit sin, you're going to be chastened. I visited a young lady in the jail this morning. She said, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I'm a Christian. She said, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I'm a Christian. She said, I know better than how I've been living. And she said, and I'm being chastened. Right now, I'm being chastened. I said, good girl. I believe you're a Christian. She said, I'm miserable. And that's chastening. And that's an evidence of genuine salvation. The guy we ought to worry about is the guy that can sin and never feel remorse for it. The guy that can go off and sin and have a good time, and he feels no repugnance at his sin. He feels no remorse over his sin. It's not distasteful to him. Matter of fact, he enjoys it and has a good time. That guy tells me he's a Christian and can love sin. I'm telling him he's got a loose connection somewhere. He's a counterfeit. He's not a genuine Christian. Genuine Christians can't enjoy sin.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Dietrich preach from John chapter 15 on the subject of the vine, the branches, and fruit bearing. To hear the complete sermon or download it in MP3 format, log on to www.fbcwayland.org. If today's broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would love to know. Why don't you give us a call at 660-754-6312 or send a note to P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri 63472, or you can contact us through our website. Once again, it's www.fbcwayland.org. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org.